Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 251, the stanzas 1 and 3. It is good to sing thy praises and to thank thee, O Most High, showing forth thy loving kindness when the morning alights the sky. And what follows, Psalter 251, the stanzas 1 and 3. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in 1 Kings 17, the verses 1 through 16. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. 1 Kings 17, the first 16 verses. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go, and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, and neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she did, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she, and he, and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, and neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember in prayer the family of Reverend C. Neely, who exchanged time for eternity in the Netherlands in the day of yesterday at the age of 60 years. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. A most holy, a most righteous, a good-doing and ever-faithful God, then thou hast granted unto us and our children, that by renewal we may behold the dawning of another day, that by renewal we may see each other in thy house of prayer. Then in the past week, then thou hast graciously watched over each and every one of us, wherever we were called to be, then thou would no desire in our death, but therein, that we may turn unto thee and live. Then thou hast graciously watched over us in the home, on the way, at work, wherever we were called to be, then we may still be in the precious day of grace. Then this day of grace has not become a never-ending eternity. Then thou wast not cut off the brittle thread of our life. Ah, Lord, may it please Thee then in this moment, that Thou may truly grant a broken and a humble heart, and may our eyes be upon Thee. Then also in the past week, then Thou was spoken in special ways. Then Thou was granted the sun to shine, and then Thou yet granted rain for the thirsty earth, where Thy hand has destroyed much in the time gone by, but to that end, that there may be some revival among the crops, and what has been planted by renewal, that it may grow. Then Thou was also spoken in the way of thunder and lightning, and our Lord, then it is so needful that we may receive eyes to see it and ears to behold it, and not only natural eyes and natural ears, but those spiritual eyes and those spiritual ears. And it is written in Thy word that Thou doest it all, that man may fear before Thee. Ah, Lord, it is written of the natural man that the fear of God is not before his eyes, still a blessing and still a privilege when we may have a tender conscience, still an impression of Thy greatness and majesty, an impression of that one thing needful, that we need to be born again. But, oh Lord, we need a new heart, a heart that may fear Thee, a heart that may love Thee, a heart that may go out after Thee. Then Thou speakest especially through Thy holy word, and Thou was promised that it shall not return void unto Thee. Then by renewal on this Lord's Day, then we are privileged to come up under Thy word, and our Lord, then we humbly beg of Thee that Thy word may go forth with power divine. Ah, go then from bench to bench, and from heart to heart. Leave us not cold, unmoved, and untouched, but impress those divine realities upon all our hearts. And that is necessary by the first time, and necessary by renewal, the loving and powerful work of Thy Holy Spirit. O Lord, may it please Thee to bless Thy word, that in this hour, that sinners among young and old, that they may be stopped, that they may be turned, that they may be overpowered, that they may be convicted of divine realities. Oh, Thou wast promised that the preaching, by the foolishness of preaching, that Thou wilt save some. Ah, Lord, may that then take place in this hour, that some may be saved, but we stand so sorely in need, all of us, for that one thing needful. There is only one step between us and death. Oh, impress it upon our hearts, what an awful thing it is to be upon this world under all Thy goodness and under Thy word, and still to be unconverted on that broad way that leadeth to eternal destruction. Lord, spare us and our children, that we built not upon sandy foundations. Do remember Thy people. They learn more and more how dependent they are upon Thee for everything. Without Thee, they can do nothing. But Thy church shall also experience, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengtheneth me. O grant unto Thy people that they may be more humble, more thankful, more holy, and more joyful, and that only through Thy dear Son, in His threefold office, to need Him continually as their prophet to instruct, that priest to atone, but also the thanking and praying High Priest, but also as King in that holy warfare against that triple-headed enemy. Lord, so we commend Thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth unto Thee, with all Thy truly called servants, elders, deacons, the sowers of the seeds upon the mission field. And then we commend in the Netherlands a family that has been plunged into deep mourning, where it has pleased Thee to take out of this life, oh, a life of many afflictions and difficulties, one of Thy servants. He has been delivered, Lord. Wilt Thou uphold that mourning family? Wilt Thou remember all the mourning ones amongst us? There are many. Wilt Thou uphold and wilt Thou comfort? And out of that mourning, that another mourning may be born. And that is a mourning over our sins. And that is a mourning of that missing of Thee, which is worse than death. Remember all our elderly ones in our care home, those that may still go in and out in the evening of their life, when they have not received the new heart. Oh Lord, it is late, but it is not too late for Thee. Be then a surprising God. Wilt Thou remember all the sick and afflicted, all under the physician's care, and all the sick relatives, the different circumstances, serious circumstances, Lord? We commend them unto Thee for body and for soul, and if it may please Thee, that the means may be blessed. Wilt Thou continue to supply our daily bread? Then the thoughts have multiplied in the past weeks, and then it is so necessary that we are called to examine each our hearts and our lives. So unthankful for common mercies in our Lord, when a little light may fall upon it, an impression what we deserve, then the common mercies, then they become special mercies. Oh, the pride under prosperity, but, Lord, Thy hand is also afflicted, and to that end wilt Thou uphold, and wilt Thou spare from rising up against Thee. Lord, Thou knowest all the family circles. Maybe there are amongst us, as we have read out of Thy holy word, that the brook is beginning to dry up, and they know not how it must go. May also those trials, may they be used for our welfare, for the saving of souls, and given to experience in Thy providence, that Thou hears and answers prayer. Lord, we humbly ask of Thee for Thy gracious help in speaking and in listening. Wilt Thou take away everything that could be a hindrance? Wilt Thou bind the devil? Give a little rest in Thy house, and may the outgoing of this service be for the coming of Thy kingdom, and for the glory of Thy great and thrice holy name, we ask it in the pardoning of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 90, the stanzas 1 through 5. And the Lord I will at all times bless. My mouth his praises shall express. In him shall all my boasting be, while all the meek rejoice with me. And what follows, Psalter 90, the first 5 stanzas, and the extra collection today is for Bethesda.
Thank you.
in this morning hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Psalm 23, the first verse, the second part. I shall not want. Our text words speak of the confession of a sheep, of the shepherd, I shall not want. With four thoughts in the first place, the sheep who makes this confession. Secondly, the necessity of this confession. Thirdly, the foundation for this confession. And fourthly, the exercising of this confession. The confession of a sheep, of the shepherd, I shall not want. The sheep who makes this confession, the necessity of this confession, the foundation for this confession, and the exercising of this confession. Thus first, the sheep who makes this confession. Beloved congregation, the last time out of this solemn, we have heard of a precious and God-glorifying exclamation, and that was by true saving faith, by the immediate working of the Holy Spirit, that David, as a child of the Lord, that he was given to confess, the Lord is my shepherd. And with that confession, congregation, then we can go through the time, and then we can meet our Maker at the end of life's journey. Then at the end, we have already given a few marks of the sheep of that shepherd. And now in this morning hour, only four words, but what a depth in those words, I shall not want. It is true, in the Lord's providence, then he cares for his creatures. But our text words speak of the blessed portion of the child of God. And it shall be a word that is experienced each time by renewal, many times by deep and trying ways. And now when we read those four words, I shall not want, then our boys and girls hear it, that it is a personal word. 'Tis a blessing, of course, when the Lord grants exercises with our neighbor, also concerning their souls. But this solemn then a David was given to say, I shall not want. And now concerning the shepherd and the sheep, then of course those, a shepherd, that is own sheep, a shepherd that has been shepherd for many years, then he would be the best able to speak out of this solemn. My father had cows, pigs and chickens, but we never had a sheep. There are families amongst us that do have sheep, And then there are boys and girls that could tell me much about sheep and about the ways of sheep. Maybe there are even boys and girls that could write your minister a letter about all the different ways of sheep and what we can learn from them, and then also to add why it is so necessary in our youth that we may receive a place by grace in the sheepfold of the great shepherd. Thus our first thought, the sheep who makes this confession, who are now the sheep of the great shepherd. Has that become your question? Has that become your concern? Or young and old, my unconverted fellow travelers, are you still satisfied? Are you still happy under another master? And let us always remember that the devil, with all his temptations, that he never seeks our good. Oh, he tells us that with the things of the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, that we can be truly happy. But it is only for one purpose, and that is that we shall spend a never-ending eternity in hell with that devil. But oh, the great shepherd, with him it is so different. And to that end, with the precious words of our text in this morning, then we must examine ourselves closely, whether we have now become a sheep, only even the smallest lamb, because the smallest lamb, they are part of the flock of the good shepherd. Maybe, boys and girls, you can remember it, what the Lord Jesus Christ is called in the scriptures. Then in John 10, then he is called the good shepherd. In Hebrews 13, he is called the great shepherd. And in Peter, he is called the chief shepherd. Thus, the sheep who makes this confession, because young and old, a mistake concerning this matter, that is an eternal mistake. I have read once of a shepherd with sheep, that on a certain morning, that a white goat appeared on the hill. Where that goat has come from, may be raised with sheep on another farm, but then that white goat, it seemed, had a desire that he may be part of the flock of the shepherd. But those sheep, they have looked at the goat for a short time, and then they went on grazing, because they realized that a goat is not a sheep. It is true, many similarities, but still a difference. Thus the sheep who make this confession, and we have already heard it with the shepherd, that an ordinary a shepherd in this life is only a faint type, is not a perfect type of the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has given his life for a sheep. And as I read in Hebrews 7, verse 25, that he is able to save to the uttermost. And so also when we consider a lamb or a sheep, oh, many beautiful instructions, but it is not a perfect type, because there is a great difference between a natural sheep and between the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the biggest difference, boys and girls, between an animal and between us and our children? Then the first difference is that a sheep has a body but does not have a soul. And when a sheep dies, it is all over. It is all finished. But when we die, then it is the beginning of a never-ending eternity. Do you think of those things many times? Are there times when you see an animal and a sheep that you say, "Ach, Lord, that sheep has never sinned against thee. That sheep does not have a soul. That sheep is not traveling to eternity, but oh Lord, I do have a soul. I have many and great sins, and I need to be saved by free and sovereign grace." Then also farmers, because it has oftentimes been said, when we have livestock, we have dead stock. And then how often a farmer is given to see, also with sheep, that those sheep become sick, they suffer, and they die. And then how fitting, when we are given to see those things, that we say with the David and to Samuel 24, "Lord, what has these sheep done? I am the guilty. I am the sinner." Can be times there's a blessing. Can be times when a farmer knows why there is a dead cow or a dead sheep, that it is because of special sins. A sheep is not a rational creature like man is. And therefore, when we speak of the sheep of the great shepherd, the marks are written in the Bible. And for those lambs and sheep in the way of examination, how often the Lord uses that examination, the searching of God's word. Many times goats, they are afraid to examine themselves, that it is actually all wrong. They hope to hold on to their false hopes. But oh, those true sheep and those little lambs. Oh, what John Newton, he has written it so beautiful. 'Tis a point I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thoughts. Am I thine or am I not? Has there been some examination the past week? Because God's true people, they are given to examine themselves oftentimes. And also, the Puritans, they have stated it so clearly that the child of God needs not only the wedding garment, but they need to keep that wedding garment clean, unspotted, and each time by renewal to go to the fountain, that it may be washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the last time, then we have already given a few marks, that a sheep, that they receive a mark in the olden days, then oftentimes they receive the mark in the ear. And now when by free and sovereign grace we become a lamb, then we receive a mark in the ear, then our ears are unstopped. And then we hear the voice of the living God. And then we hear so differently than we have heard formerly, and that it enters not only our ear, but that it enters our heart, and then we become a seeking soul. And then those sheep we have mentioned, especially in the days of old, then the sheep had a name. And now for the true sheep, and not only in the beginning, then they read their name in the Bible, but they also read in the further leadings. Because when a farmer has sheep, and they remain a little lamb, and they do not grow, then the farmer is filled with great concern. And in the life of those sheep, when there is no growth, then there is actually declension. Oh, when we read this psalm, what an examination for the child of God. Oh, there is so needed that close life with the shepherd. But now concerning the marks of that true sheep, of course, with a shepherd and a sheep. And that was more so in former days, because then the shepherd has lived continually with the sheep. Then there was a certain bond and there was affection from the shepherd to the sheep, but also a certain affection from the sheep to the shepherd. And now for those lambs and sheep, that is a special mark. And that is a grace that the Lord grants in the moment of regeneration. And that is love. And that is something we cannot make. That is something we cannot give. But that is a gift from above. And although perhaps difficulty to explain what love is, because when David has said, the Lord is my shepherd, then he speaks of a relationship. That is a mark of grace. When the Lord works by His Spirit and we become a little lamb, we have heard it, born, purchased, then we find our name declared concerning those marks of grace. And then we receive a love for the Lord, for His day, for His house, for His institutions, and for His people. Then we may say with the Peter, he was a true sheep. It's true. Had he denied his master, but then he could say before an all-knowing God in John 21, verse 17, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Then another mark of those sheep, as we read in John 10, that is that they hear the voice of the shepherd. They recognize that shepherd. And they recognize that voice. And that voice is so sweet and so instructive, also uncovering. It has been tried before, a shepherd with a sheep. And then another shepherd has come, maybe even a twin brother. And that twin brother, he has tried to copy the voice of that shepherd. And he called the sheep, and the sheep did not even perk up their ears. But then the shepherd of the sheep, he has called them, and immediately they have come and followed. Thus they hear his voice. Thus then young and old, then we have many marks to examine. The sheep that is making this confession, when we love someone, I ask you boys and girls whether you love your father and mother, then you say, of course. If I would ask a husband and wife whether they love their husband or wife, they would not ask for 10 minutes to think, but they would say, we love each other, and when it is not so, may there be repentance. And also concerning hearing that voice. And now what is a mark of those true sheep? When they hear the voice of the shepherd, that they obey and that they follow. Because if you have a flock of sheep and they hear the voice of the shepherd and he calls for them to follow, and they maybe raise their heads, but then they continue grazing and refuse to follow the sheep, then we can all understanding that hearing, that implies more. That implies obeying the shepherd. Saul said to Samuel, when he did not wait to sacrifice and did not kill the king of the Amalekites in 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. To obey is better than sacrifice. And in Matthew 16, verse 24, if any man will follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Thus clear marks in the scriptures concerning the little lambs and the sheep of the good shepherd. Then further, those little lambs, when a little lamb is born, then there is a special bond with the mother sheep. They are fed by the mother sheep. Oh, that is a beautiful type. When lambs are born in the church is the mother. Oh, then when there are no lawful reasons, then their place shall not be empty. Because you read in the scriptures that they desire the sincere milk of the word, then they soak it up. Oh, they are given to listen so well. And then they may thrive, the same as those little lambs. And further, when you have a flock of sheep, and the shepherd comes to that flock, and there's a loner separated from the flock, then it gives the shepherd great concern. It can be that such a sheep is getting into mischief, looking at greener pastures, but it can also be that such a sheep is greatly troubled, and oh, it is true. The Lord, the great shepherd, he has those lambs and those sheep, and how troubled they can be when they are given to examine them closely. And when unbelief gains the upper hand, and when the Lord holds such strange ways with them, then they believe that they are not a true lamb, a true sheep. How they are given to cry unto the Lord when the Spirit uncovers them deeper and deeper to their sins, so black and so vile. And when the Lord begins, then how jealous they become of those sheep and those lambs. But when they are given to examine themselves deeper, and they see that holy people of God, and so full of sin, then there are times you do find those lambs in secret places. But if you could listen to those little lambs, they are given to pour out their heart. Such a jealousy for the people of God. Do we not read of such a little lamb in Psalm 106, verse 4? Remember me with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Do we not read of one in Psalm 86, verse 17? Oh, show me a token for good. In the New Testament, do we not read of those that have come at the foot of Jesus and that have asked for temporal and spiritual blessings? Another mark of those sheep. Then those lambs and sheep, they love to see the shepherd and to be in the presence of the shepherd. And that is now a mark of the flock of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are not content with a confession. They are not content to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Nominal Christendom also says it. But for that true flock, they desired the presence of the shepherd to see him, to hear his voice, and boys and girls can even understand it, those lambs and sheep that are the closest to the shepherd, they receive the most. Hear his voice very distinctly, and then for a sheep that comes close by, and a good shepherd places hand upon their head, all beautiful types, instruction for the true people of God. Ah, those true sheep. They know what it is, those needs. Then the sheep, the lambs of the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, sheep are animals, thus we have said, not a perfect type, but now the true sheep, because sheep are foolish, and that is what those true sheep learn, that they are so foolish in heavenly ways, and that concerns the Lord's providence and the way of grace, that they need to be taught. As sheep, they are dependent upon the shepherd for everything, for protection, for pasture, for drink. A beautiful picture. And alas, alas, David, at least believed to be the author of Psalm 119, he has written many things concerning the heart and the experience of the lambs and the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many precepts, many promises, many vows, and then the last verse, thy servant as a wandering sheep. Oh, those true sheep, what does the Spirit teach them? We have said not a perfect type, but those true sheep, they are taught much humility. The sheep, the confession of a sheep, of the good shepherd, and now the question, congregation, is, have we now become a lamb and a sheep of that good shepherd? Then I shall begin low, because maybe there are souls that say that is now my question concerning that knowledge of that good shepherd. Oh, if you ask me whether I love the Lord, that I know. Whether I love his house, his day, his people, his honor, oh, it is my prayer that many more may be given to experience and taste of the good things of the Lord, because those lambs and sheep, oh, especially lambs, how they can skip and jump in the pastures, also a beautiful type when the Lord begins to experience the blessedness and the sweetness of the service of the Lord. But now concerning that good shepherd, let us never rest. Because I read in John 17, verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou wast sent. We have said the type is not perfect, because lambs and sheep, they do not need the good shepherd, of course, to protect them from the wolf and from the bear, same as with David. But a sheep does not need a shepherd, that they may be delivered and cleansed from their sins. But now the true sheep, and that is a clear mark, because much can take place in the way of providence, and let us never despise it. What a blessing it is when in the family circles, There may be times the special providence of the Lord, that the Lord has heard prayer, granted solutions where there were none, when there were impossibilities, but by itself, let us never rest upon it for our soul for eternity, because it is necessary, and that is the work of the Spirit, to bring us lambs and a sheep, and what an uncovering they need, but that they are taught their sinnership, and what those lambs and those sheep can be seen when the Lord works, cannot remain hidden, congregation, although in the beginning we can try to hide it, but it becomes evident that we are a little lamb, that we have been born in Zion, that we are busy with the things of the Lord, with the coming of His kingdom and the glory of His name. But it is necessary that we become the sinner. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. Oh, to uncover those lambs with all their efforts and with all their works, that they are a sinner still, that they cannot appear before a holy and a just God. And now it is the work of the Good Shepherd by His Holy Spirit that they are uncovered more and more, and that the Good Shepherd for those lambs, for His sheep, that He may reveal Himself in His priestly office, because they come under that prophetical office, same as the disciples under the ministry of Jesus Christ. Oh, they have experienced that kingly office with the wonders that they have behold, but now it is the work of the Spirit for His lambs, for His sheep, that the Good Shepherd may reveal Himself. Do we not read of a Joseph that he has said to his brother, I am Joseph whom thou hast sold into the land of Egypt. Oh, the Good Shepherd, on the day of the resurrection, with a holy desire to reveal Himself to His sheep with His pierced hands, His pierced side, and His pierced feet. Let's now be honest. Do we have a hope that we have now become a lamb and a sheep of the Good Shepherd? That is the crucial point. Because our text words, that's spoken by a true lamb and by a true sheep of the Good Shepherd, the marks clearly declared in God's Word. We read in Matthew 16, the verses 21 and 22, Matthew 7, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Our second thought, the necessity of this confession. Let us first sing. Psalter 431, the stanzas 4, 5, and 6. Open, saith the Lord, wide thy mouth believing. This my covenant word I will, if thou plead, fill thine every need, all thy wants relieving. And what follows? 431, 4, 5, and 6. the confession of a sheep of the shepherd, I shall not want. The sheep who makes this confession, and now secondly, the necessity of this confession. I hope that there are many a soul in the congregation that may be troubled in this morning hour, and that still have to confess that you have not become a sheep, but that you are still a goat. And I read in Matthew 25, the verses 31 to the end, that the goats shall be placed on the left side, that there are many that it is the question, what must I do to be saved, may still be declared that there is room in the sheepfold of the great shepherd, and it is written in the scriptures, those that may come, those that may ask, those that may seek, and those that may knock, that they shall never be turned away. Several places it is written in the scriptures that those that seek him with their whole heart, that they shall find him. And there for young and old, to be given to repent and to seek the Lord earnestly. Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, then there is not one in this morning that can say that they have truly sought the Lord with all their heart, and therefore come oftentimes on your knees and tell the Lord how unconverted you are, maybe even unwilling. Maybe there are even those that see no beauty in the service of the Lord, that hope to find your happiness in the world, but it never can be, and it never shall be. Oh, the great shepherd is still calling. There is still room. Then it is necessary that we are given to forsake our evil ways and turn our face unto the Lord, to be given to beg for a new heart, that we may experience the wonderful things of the Lord. But now when we read in our text words, I shall not want, then undoubtedly there are many boys and girls, many among our youth, that have a question. Because when we read the scriptures, then it seems that those lambs and those sheep, that they have many wants. It can also be for those lambs and sheep, when the Lord, when they may become a lamb and a sheep, and they have not so many trials, and everything is going well outwardly, oh, then surely there shall be times that they shall be greatly humbled. But then there can also be a voice that says, you have not so many afflictions and not so many wants, thus you may be afraid that you are not a lamb, that you are not a sheep. But when it is so, may those lambs and sheep be given to rejoice in the goodness of the Lord. Many oftentimes, when the Lord leads so gently in the beginning, then many a times there comes also a trial. Then the question can be, how can the psalmist now say, I shall not want, when it is written in the scriptures, Isaiah 48 verse 10, I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. And in Matthew 5, the Beatitudes, 10, the verses 10 through 12, blessed are they that are persecuted. And do we not read in the book of Revelation that it is 10 days of tribulation when we read of the scriptures of awaiting Abram? Oh, he was a true sheep together with his wife. What a privilege, husband and wife serving the Lord. When I think we have heard of a Joseph, oh, what a wants he had when he was in prison. Then I hear a Jacob in Genesis 42, verse 36. Joseph is not, Simeon is not, and thou wilt take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. When I think of a David that was brought nigh to despair, when he was given to confess, one day I shall fall into the hands of Saul. When we think of an Elijah under the juniper tree, a despairing prophet, when we read of a sighing Ezekiel, a weeping Jeremiah, when we read in the New Testament of Peter who has denied, a Thomas who could not believe it anymore, then I read in the scriptures that it is the portion of a child of God to have many a wants, and that is true. They shall have temporal wants, they shall have spiritual wants. We have read together out of 1 Kings 17, oh, of Elijah, what a wants there were, but the Lord has supplied. Thus the secret of David, when he said, I shall not want. Then David did not say there were no wants, but that the Lord, as the good shepherd, to say it reverently, then the wants of the lambs and of the sheep, they are the wants of the great shepherd, and it concerns the honor of the great shepherd to take care of his lambs and of his sheep, and so far that it pleaseth them for their good. Because those sheep and lambs, they also need trials. But that the good shepherd, because he has purchased this people for body and for soul, I shall not want. Oh, those sheep, they have many wants. If we think of a flock of lambs and sheep, boys and girls, you can help. What are now all their wants? A little lamb, so feeble and so tender, may be born when it is not so warm. Then what a want such a little lamb has for warmth and for milk. Further, when we think of a sheep, many enemies. When David was shepherd, we read of a lion and a bear. And our sheep cannot defend themselves. It's true, wild sheep, they have horns, but a tame sheep, no horns. And not run fast enough to escape a wolf or coyote. Thus the sheep of many fears. What a picture of the true sheep. That triple-headed enemy. And Jehoshaphat was given to declare, we have no might against all those enemies. And further, a sheep is very susceptible to disease. Sometime it has been said, a sick sheep is nearly a dead sheep. All those true sheep, we have spoken of sin, unbelief, discouragement, nigh to despair, small thoughts of the shepherd, whether he is able, whether he is willing to save. Sheep are so quickly frightened. Sometimes a rabbit runs through the midst and they start running. Oh, for the true sheep. How often it can be when they may have it a little good, may believe they are a sheep, even a little lamb, given to rejoice, sing the Lord's praises. One question and one thought, and everything can be upside down. By renewal, Lord, dost thou still know of me? O sheep, they can be discontented looking through the fence. It's a common saying that the pasture on the other side looks greener. So it can also be with the sheep. Think of the children of Israel in the wilderness, that they were a murmuring people. Has been said that a sheep is very foolish, and that is what the child of God learns, so foolish concerning heavenly ways can be. Tell us that a sheep can also be very stubborn. Ah, that pride and that I. What a privilege it is when the true sheep, when there may be submission, when there may be bowing, then for the sheep many insects to bite, to annoy. How for the true sheep there can be many matters that trouble them so deeply. For the sheep in a flock, then they shall see that some of the flock sick may be taken by a wolf, an eagle. All for the true sheep, of course, for the lambs and sheep. That is the blessed portion. I read in John 10, verse 28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The salvation of the sheep of the great shepherd that lieth so sure in the work of a triune God. But in the scriptures, those true sheep, what a trouble they can have with those where it appeared that they were sheep, that they were goats. Think of a Saul not among the prophets. We would say nearly minister. What a trouble they can have with Judas. He went to his own place. I shall not want. Then David, as a sheep, was not given to say that there were no wants. But with that precious confession, by an eye of faith, given to look upon the great shepherd who has purchased him with his precious blood and has promised to take care of a sheep. And therefore, our third thought, the foundation of this confession, and that is in that word, my, was our last thought last time. The Lord is my shepherd. Then the solemn is so precious. We hear in our day many times that Christ must be more preached, and that is true. That only name must be lifted up to the highest as the only name under heaven whereby we must be saved. But in the context of the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep in the psalm. When there is spoken, "The Lord is my shepherd," then it is through the eyes and the experience of a sheep of the Good Shepherd. Martin Luther has stated in a certain place that the comfort for the true sheep of the shepherd that lieth in that personal pronoun, "my." And now concerning the foundation of this confession, "I shall not want." Then in the first place, the election of the Father, that all the sheep have been chosen in the council of peace from the never-ending eternity, and to that end in the council of peace, there has been counseled concerning the saving of those sheep, that he must be delivered from under the dominion of the devil and brought in the sheepfold of Jesus Christ. Then concerning this foundation, then all those chosen sheep, and that is not where we must begin, but that is our only hope, and the Lord, let us always remember, congregation, that the Lord has promised, especially in his house, under the ordinances of the Lord, to gather and also to feed his sheep. But now those sheep, they have been promised as a gift to the Son upon the fulfillment of the conditions of that covenant of grace in the state of his humiliation. Thus all the sheep, they are given to the Son by the Father as a reward upon his meritorial work, and we say it reverently. Then it is the calling, the responsibility, it concerns the Father's honor that all those sheep which he has received from his Father, that he shall care for them, of course convert and instruct them, but that he shall also care for them, because, congregation, if one of those sheep would be missing in heaven at the end, then how the devil and hell would rejoice that at least that the devil has gained one. It cannot and it shall never be. Then further, those sheep, they have been purchased by a special price, as I read in 1 Peter 1, the verses 18 and 19, not by gold or silver, but by the precious blood of the Lamb without blemish, the precious blood which the great shepherd has shed. Then further, they are born in Zion, but now concerning that word, "my," I hope, there are souls that are exercised with that word. And how shall it now be experienced in the life of those true sheep? When the Lord converts them, then it shall be in the way of desire and a holy jealousy. And then there shall be times that it shall be so good for those sheep. Oh, that in secret places, that they have the liberty to say, "My shepherd." Then in the second place, then it shall be in the way of choice. Then they shall make that good choice with their Ruth. "Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." And that is not strange to those sheep. And with that choice, oh, it is true, it shall be assaulted and shall be attacked. many a times that go upside down and that the devil comes and points at their sin, do you not really believe that you are a little lamb? Because then it would not be different. Then you would not have so much evil in your heart. Thus, in the first place, desire. In the second place, choice. In the third place, in the way of experience. Because we have said in that profound expression, my shepherd, that brings into a relationship the same when a bridegroom may marry a bride. And now of that experience, we read of special things in Isaiah 40, verse 11. There it is written of that good shepherd, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are young. That shall not be strange for that flock. In the first place we read that they shall be fed. Oh, think of Ruth on the fields of Boaz. She was given to glean much. That is not strange when the Lord converses. In the second place, he shall gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom. There are times in the life of those little lambs that they are dealt so tenderly with, and that it seems that the shepherd has only one lamb that can also be in church, and that they are given to feel that loving embrace, then her children can understand it. If you now have a shepherd and that picks up his little lamb, maybe chilled, maybe so frightful, maybe hungry, and that he picks it up and maybe puts it under his coat, that lamb may say, if you ask for the foundation, that is another matter, but then such a lamb may be given to exclaim that shepherd is my shepherd. Oh, then such a shepherd, when he carries such a little lamb, does he not speak comfortably to Jerusalem and shall gently lead those that are with young? Those are those that are exercised with the coming of God's kingdom. They shall also receive special tokens of the favor of the good shepherd. First, further, then we may speak, my shepherd, in the way of promise. In the sixth place, then we may speak when the good shepherd reveals himself in his priestly office. And in the seventh place, in the way of assurance, as we read in Romans 8 and Revelations 2, verse 17, when they receive that white stone and a new name. Thus that is the foundation of this confession, and the exercising of this confession, we must leave it live for the next time. What precious words. Those boys and girls, when David was given to say, I shall not want, then he did not say there were no wants. They are manifold. They can be so overwhelming. But then I read in Psalm 25, verse 14, that the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. And when a child of God may be given to behold that good, that great and chief shepherd and all his attributes, then they may be given by true saving faith that needs to be given. They can bring forth nothing but unbelief, and then they have such a small and such a weak shepherd. But when that faith may be an exercise, then it may be as we read in Psalm 37, verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Oh, then they may be given to believe and experience what Paul has written to the Philippians in chapter 4, verse 19. For my God shall supply all your need according to his riches by Christ Jesus. Unto God and the Father be all the honor forever. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, the word is still missing. May it please thee to arouse to a holy jealousy and to grant it by thy free and sovereign grace. Oh, impress upon all our hearts that thou grantest this precious time, that we may be given to seek and find thee. And, Lord, where thou hast begun, and concerning that word my, wilt thou grant further leadings and further exercises, the exercises of faith, to be given to declare at moments, I shall not want. We have heard it out of thy holy word of the prophet Elijah, that thou was so wonderfully scared. Thou was sent him to the brook, and when the brook is dried out, thou was sent him to the widow, and, Lord, thou art still the same. Lord, wilt thou graciously remember us in this day? Wilt thou grant unto fathers and mothers that they may be given to speak to their children, to read, to sing, and to pray? Wilt thou grant traveling mercies return us in this evening hour and forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 398. Let us only sing the first stanza. The Lord upholds the faltering feet and makes the weak securely stand. The burdened ones bowed down with grief are helped by his most gracious hand. And what follows, 398, only the first stanza. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.